This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Welcome to WHM Mailbag, everybody. I am Andrew Jupiter alongside Steven Zadak, Eric Siska, and Christopher Cabin. We are here working out, apparently.
No, yes, we are not.
Well, if you watch, you know, this is audio and video. If you go to youtube.com/we8movies, you can see me working out right now. Oh, got that nice 40 of Coors Light.
I'm drinking at the podcast. I'm
drinking at the gym.
It's terrific.
No, we're here to read letters, right?
We are. The mailbag. Before we get started, I do want to say...
breaking news.
Because I started last night to pack, because we've got a tour coming up, and I pack months in advance.
Months in advance.
You know what? He's joking, but it's also, like, totally true.
Absolutely.
I can see you trying to figure out t-shirts already.
Well, I'm already, like, talking about the airport. Like, well, if I get there at, when I get there at 8... for the 12 o'clock flight.
If I get there, what is that, 4 months in advance?
Now, where is the best breakfast sandwich in that area? Gotta factor that in.
You're going to start living in there like the terminal with Thomas Hanks.
Oh, I wait for flight in June. Oh. It's me, I wait for flight in June.
I eat ketchup packet diet until the show.
No, we are going on tour. Of course, every year we're on tour, by the way. But yeah. the 2020 tour is starting this summer. This June is kicking everything off.
Absolutely.
Doing sort of like the middle of the country, man. I'm digging it. Yeah. A lot of good food. A lot of good alcohol.
The spine of the country. We're going to be in Detroit, Michigan on June 6th doing RoboCop 3.
RoboCop 3.
And then June 7th, we're going to go to Cleveland, Ohio, Nightmare on Elm Street 3, The Dream Warrior.
Starring Larry Fishburne, which I'm very excited about.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. Almost a WLM.
Pretty damn close.
I mean,
it's fine. The Fredericks.
Dude, fucking...
Out of the Fredericks, it's like the best.
Well, out of the Fredericks.
Yes. The second and the third are like the best ones.
John Saxon is murdered by a skeleton in this movie, everybody. Fucking come on.
I far prefer Fredericks of Hollywood.
Oh, yeah, you would.
And then we're taking 2 days off. We're taking 2 days off because then it's on June 9th, we're going to be taken in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Yeah, a lot of people get kidnapped in that town, I bet.
I guess.
Oh, I don't know.
So Cleveland is the 7th, and then that's the 9th.
Yes.
So we're taking 1 day off.
Yeah, a travel day.
Counting skills need not apply.
And then next week on 6/15, we'll be at the Comedy Zone in Charlotte, North Carolina, doing Under Siege, Chris Cabin's favorite movie.
It is my favorite movie.
Dude, all I'm saying is Tommy Lee Jones wears a bandana and plays an electric guitar. We're in for a good
time.
And
that leather jacket.
Yes, dude. It's fucking boss as hell.
Then the Orange Peel in Asheville, North Carolina.
One of my favorite fucking towns. Just got to throw it out there.
6/16, we're doing Junior, Pregnant. That will, I will say, very easily will be the grossest show of the tour. So if that's what you're into, that's where you want to go.
That's the one you don't want to be in the splash zone for. Steve's splash zone.
Steve is going to give birth on stage. Yes.
But that's exactly why I'm super stoked my in-laws are coming to the show the night before.
That's the one.
Because they won't have to hear us talk about a fucking Terminator's water breaking, which I know is going to happen.
Definitely. We already did it practically. And then we're ending this tour, this leg of the tour. Who knows what's going to happen after this?
I don't know.
But on June 17th, we'll be in Nashville, Tennessee. I'm super stoked to go to Nashville.
Fuck, that's going to be awesome,
too. To talk about Footloose on June 17th in
Nashville.
Yeah,
let's hear it for the boy. It's a good song. What, guys? It's a fantastic song.
It's a great soundtrack, period.
Yes, absolutely. And it's just dancing that's banned. Remember, everybody.
That's right. So music is okay.
Yes. Totally fine, especially church music.
But dancing's...
What about sugary drinks? We got a ban sugary drinks.
Boo-boo Blomberg.
I'm a tiny bear that wants to tell you how to live your life.
Kill it. You're pregnant, kill it.
For more of that, look at our Animation Damnation on Yogi's Gang that came out this month in February.
Yeah.
Or look at the crumbling state of American politics.
Now, What is not crumbling is the amount of letters we have to get through. So let's start chipping away at that. Steve Sadak,
okay,
kick us off.
We are going to do Bathroom Follies.
All right. Speaking of wheelhouses.
Wait, did this person see me today in the restroom?
No, but the person I work with sure did watch me print this out four times.
Oh, really? Man, they saw Bathroom Follies?
Well, it was like she had like this huge status report, and I'm like, excuse me, those are my bathroom follies over there, if you don't mind.
You have TPS reports. I'm just having some TP reports.
You should have done that Edward Norton thing in Fight Club where it's like, why don't you just don't bring me every piece of trash you find?
It's a collection of short stories. It's supposed to be great.
Dear WHM gang.
That's us.
First time writer, but I have been listening to your show for about 2 years now. And I would just like to share with you a bizarre story that happened to me around 4 years ago.
Love so it. Stories from the past.
That's 2 years before she started listening,
right,
which is 2 years ago.
Got it.
Right. We got the timeline?
Okay, so we're taking how many travel days?
Dude, this is like a Christopher Nolan movie, man.
2016. Everybody get it together.
There are three.
Shut up, you fucking genius.
4 minus 20. Jesus Christ.
It could have been. All right.
20 minus 4, by the way. I take back that genius comment. Please continue.
So I am going to the bathroom at this tiny little place where they're. Take that again. So I'm going to the bathroom at this tiny little place where it had one stall and one urinal. So I go in, and to my surprise, there's this big crap in the urinal. And there was this guy already in the stall, and you have no idea what my 10-year-old mind was thinking.
So someone 14? This person's 14, that means?
Yeah, I guess so.
You shouldn't be fucking emailing
us if you're
14.
The timelines are getting all mixed.
Wait a second.
How old is this person? This is awesome.
This is not well, I don't know. This is a weird legal grounds now.
Yeah.
Because now we have a minor telling us about how someone took a shit in the urinal. Is that
witnessing
right?
Shits.
Well, how is that against the law?
I have no idea, dude.
I mean, I wouldn't want to tell this to a cop, though.
That you read something?
Yes. So I go in, and to my surprise, there's this big crap in the urinal, and there was this guy in the stall, and I had no idea what my 10-year-old mind was thinking, but I stayed in the bathroom while the guy was. Tough sentence, because I guess this person is 14 years old.
And we are what? In our 30s, we also don't know how to read.
No, that's also true.
Let's give them credit.
I don't want to say screaming, this appeared there for no reason.
Yeah.
I don't want to say screaming, but I could tell he was in pain. So this guy is in the bathroom.
Right. Yeah, really having a hard go of it.
Oh, wow, this is the meet and greet, by the way. The
other side of the concrete mixer.
That is always...
Oh, my fucking God. We haven't been on the air for 10 minutes, and I am already disgusted with everyone in this.
Whenever
room.
That happens to me, when I'm in the toilet.
What's happening to you?
When I'm in the bathroom, and you're in a big bathroom, and you hear somebody else going, hee!
Oh, yeah, with the struggle. Dude, I openly laugh.
I can't. It's
I'm
hard.
I'm openly laughing.
It's hard, man. So when he finishes, he full-on runs out of the room, and I look at the stall to see an image that I can never unsee. There was this massive crap that was like thick and so long that it was hanging out of the bowl, and it was thick.
This is actually good, by the way. It's good that he got this out.
Hanging out of the bowl.
What happened there?
Was this person sitting on the toilet properly?
He had it in the air for a little bit. God. At the end there.
It was
last detachment.
He was like fucking Tom Cruise in a Mission Impossible movie. Just fucking hanging out of his asshole for a second.
And it was hanging. It was kind of holding itself up. And then my dad came into the restroom, and he was like, did you do this?
Oh, no.
And I just kind of run out and get in the car. No other words were spoken between the two of us. And my dad, between me, myself and my dad, for the rest of the four-hour drive.
I've had a lot of long, awkward car rides with my father, but it never was shit-related. Did anyone ever get yelled at for a shit they... wrongfully accused for a shit?
Oh, like this situation?
Yeah.
No. I always own up to my shits.
Right.
I have a perfect record of owning up to my shits.
Yes.
So if I tell you I didn't take that shit, I didn't take that shit.
Absolutely.
I do remember a story of my dad going to the bathroom, leaving the bathroom, and then my mom going in afterwards and saying, Oh, something's not right. This is bad. Something. What did we eat yesterday?
Is the sewage backing up? It's coming out through the ball.
I lied about a shit, and my story was so spotty that nobody really ever believed it, but nobody pushed me too hard.
Did you claim that Hollywood legend James Stewart used the bathroom before you?
Oh gosh, a big old steamer in your bathroom.
Oh my goodness, part of it was hanging off the ball somehow.
Well, my feces isn't here; it's at Mary's house, in Ted's house.
Thick like molasses.
Wait, so was this at home?
So the story is, seventh grade.
I knew someone would have one.
My body is changing, and that's no excuse for anything.
I was going to say, it doesn't really affect your shitting.
But I shit my pants on the way home from school.
And you said, no, I didn't.
Yes, basically, well, because I have school pens. I went to a Catholic school.
Right.
So and I just think I can make it. You know, it's your classic, anytime you shit your pants, anytime past the age of three, it's like, I think I can make it. You know
You're
what I mean?
Playing fast and loose with the devil, dude.
Exactly. It's
like I bet you were happy they changed from white linen pants that day.
It was slate gray pants.
Oh, that could still look like you sat in pudding.
They smell like shit from the factory, guys. It's brand new. It just smells like shit from the factory.
But school pants, and I'm just like, oh, get. I see my apartment building down in the distance, and it happens. And I'm like, fuck, these are my only pair of school pants. What the fuck? Blah, blah, blah. I'm not going to wash these. I'm not going to make my mother wash these. I don't want anyone to know. I'm humiliated.
Yeah.
Good thing I'm humiliated, so I'm just telling you guys. in this room here with these cameras. Mm-hmm. And I go home, and I lived in an apartment building that had an incinerator, which is the best destroyer of evidence that ever existed.
Dude, this new building now has one that I'm living in.
Yes.
Really?
Loving it.
Incinerating stuff?
Dude, late night Taco Bell, no one's the wiser.
That dead body, no one's the wiser.
I'll tell you what the problem with this is, Steve. I'm going to tell you right now.
Because
you have caused a monster who shits all over everybody in their dreams to happen after this.
They won't. Shitty I Kruger, can't go dude. Back unless they remember me. It's me, Shitty Krueger. You gotta fall asleep on the toilet.
No. There. He's shitting on us in the real world.
I killed Elvis.
So I make it home. I dispose of both my pants and my underwear
in the incinerator.
In the incinerator. And
did you have a towel on?
I put it in the plastic. No, I changed. I showered the whole thing.
Sure.
Put it in the plastic bag.
Shorts or sweatpants? What are you wearing?
I was in the seventh grade, so you definitely don't want to hear what I was wearing. So I throw them away, and then my mom's like, well, you know, I say, like, oh, Mom, you're never going to believe what happened to me today. And she's like,
oh,
what?
Here it comes.
Because I mean, school pants are expensive. We didn't have a lot of money.
My pants got stolen.
No, I was like, you know, I was walking near that chain link fence near school, and it caught onto the bottom of my pants, and it tore all the way up the leg. And she's like, well, where are they? What? I could probably fix it. I was like, oh, no, you couldn't have fixed these. I threw them in the incinerator. There's just no way you could have ever fixed these. And she's like, why did you throw them in? I could have. I'm like, no, look, the way these things look. She's like, well, how did
Lady, I have seen shredded pants.
Steven, have you shat your pants?
No.
Is that what happened here? Tell me.
I turned into the Incredible Hulk is what happened. And you know how that guy's pants look afterwards. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
That's what happened to the underwear, too. The underwear.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, the underwear, that was easier to hide.
They never really addressed that on that show, huh?
No, they don't.
So I'm sorry. Anyways, I hope you guys enjoyed the story. BTW, I'm a younger listener, and I have helped you guys out by getting 30 of my friends to listen to a bunch of high and/or drunk adult men talking about movies. Thanks for the crazy laughs, Carrie.
Well, thank you, Carrie, and thank you for making your friends hip to the show. And drunk and high gentlemen talking about movies depends on the week.
Also, get your parents' approval. We're on the level. Mm-hmm. Legal enterprise.
And certainly don't...
Not for adults. Eric, parental guidance.
Eric always thinks the cop's on the other side of the door.
Well, they are, dude.
Somebody, I think, DM'd me or whatever the other day. It was like, your Cleveland show's 21 and older? And I'm like, yeah. Oh, wait, you're younger than 21?
Dude, did you turn to sand immediately?
I pretty much did.
That person shouldn't email us either.
Yes, exactly.
Nobody under
25 plus. It's like renting a car.
Hey, and by the way, your beef is with the venue, friend. We have no control over
that. I would have all the children come to my shows and hang out with me afterward.
Yeah, don't be saying things.
Just come on over to my hotel and we'll hang out. We'll talk about it.
He's like the Pied Piper of forever.
This is video. It's forever.
That's video. That's internet.
Oh no,
video.
Sorry. No. I that was a mistake. My sentence got caught on the fence. You see.
And it was a razor wire fence.
No. That sentence was ruined. I had to incinerate it.
Eric Siska, let's keep it going here.
All right.
Are we skipping around?
Yeah. This
it was
is
one at, I wanted specific for Eric.
I see.
At the direction of Christopher Cabin. Cross of Iron. Howdy, guys. I'm a newish fan that discovered your podcast when looking for stuff to listen to.
Well, howdy.
Very cool. When driving out to Colorado for legal weed, even nicer, by the way, that's the way to do it, legally.
And by the way, Denver folk who were bumming about the tour lineup, you never say never. Yeah. And also, we don't really have control over that stuff. Yeah. If someone do it for us, I'm just saying.
Yes, it's kind of out of our hands a little bit, but...
We don't hate you. We love you. And
we want to go.
We're going to get there someday. I mean, listen to what I've been talking about for the last 10 years. We'll get there.
Yeah, I like mountains.
You're looking at the world's number one Johnny Denver fan right here.
I like Nikola Jokic.
I do. I love fucking plane crashes, Chris.
I just love Rocky Mountain Highs, man.
It's a good tune. So I've been keeping up with new episodes and listening to old episodes ever since I think I have a movie-related story I think you might like.
Sick. Lay it on us.
In 1977, when I was 11. So look at this. Look at this. Look at this.
The age ranges. This is what I love about the We Hate Movies fandom.
It's amazing.
All ages, man. We're like the fucking circus, dude. Appropriate for anybody.
Asshole Stepfather in 1977 when you were 11. Was this written by Stephen King?
Yes. Okay. My asshole stepfather decided to toughen me up by taking me out to see Sam Peckinpah's Cross of Iron. Honestly, good move, stepfather.
Very good movie.
And it's a good movie.
Good movie.
I've never seen it.
Toughen up. We gotta toughen up.
Yep. Oh, an 11-year-old. Yeah, that's definitely.
Oh, these millennials need to toughen up.
When I was 11, I saw Pulp Fiction in the theater. Uh-huh. Before that, I saw Terminator 2.
And everything's turned out fine since then.
Hey, you know,
somehow I made this work.
Apropos of Steve's comment, man, you know who's never paid $9 for a cup of coffee?
Mm-hmm.
Sam Peckinpah, because he's been dead for 30 years.
True. This is very true.
I won't go into the experience in detail, but suffice to say that I was not mentally ready for Peckinpah's Nazis versus Commies slow motion bloodbath. I was so in tears and shaking in terror throughout the movie. Fortunately, he is now my ex-stepfather been for decades.
I left his ass.
I think when you're an ex-stepfather that was an asshole, you just get downgraded to asshole.
Well, the thing about why he's the ex-stepfather, though, what they're not mentioning here, and it's fine because it's their email and they can write whatever they want, but it was after that crazy winter they spent in that hotel in Colorado.
Of course. Yeah, yeah.
And the boiler exploded.
You go out there for legal weed and suddenly... So years later, at some point in my 20s, the early 90s, I decided to give Cross of Iron another look because I've been getting into film and discovered that I like a lot of Peckinpah's work. I found a copy at our local mom-and-pop video store, but when I started watching it, I discovered that the battle scenes were murky and garbled, and any scene that had tanks in it were completely fuzzed out. It dawned on me that someone must be renting and re-renting this tape and watching the battle scenes multiple times like it was a porno or something.
Ish. Ew. America. Ew.
I would like to think that whoever wore that tape out was making a little World War II dioramas or something, and was using the film as research, but my wife thinks he was straight up jacking it to tape shit.
I like your wife. Listen. He was straight up jacking into that shit. Okay?
You know, honey, I think he was straight up jacking into tank shit.
Yeah, cut it with that diorama stuff.
And this might appeal to Steven Sadak, kind of a tangentially related type of thing.
Uh-huh.
I remember when I was young on the internet in the 90s.
Sure.
When
I was young on the internet.
Reading like bulletin boards.
Sure.
Like hosted by AOL or whatever other networks.
Yeah.
And there was one guy expounding in detail about his sexual
predilections,
towards trains.
Oh,
yeah. And how he wants to have sex with inanimate objects and stuff. And I was a young kid going, go on. What is all this about?
What a weird thing to pop up on this Star Wars message board.
Pretty much.
I do it with the starships, too. I don't want to limit.
It reminds me of one of my favorite specials of all time, Married to the Eiffel Tower, which yes. I've shown
so
separately.
Isn't it I Married the Eiffel Tower?
I Married to the Eiffel Tower.
We got to get titles right so people can look this up later.
It's probably on YouTube.
It's your classic BBC.
It's the only place it exists.
These people have a weird predilection. Let's watch them for 45 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
But actually, there's an addendum, this Extreme Love show that I'm watching on Wii TV. They have...
I love it.
Yet another one of these. Objective sexual, they call them, because they're attracted to objects. This woman was so in love with planes that she got hooked up with some like plane depot, and like this guy was just
welcome to plane depot.
This guy, these two guys, like, had, I mean, it's obviously done by the TV network, and they're like, they set up where she could get on the plane and like. Look around and do stuff. And one guy
masturbate feverishly.
Uh-huh. One guy was just like, well, that's what people are into. And the other guy could not stop laughing at it. It's just like, he was like, yeah, you know, he was like trying to be like compassionate. He was like, hey man, whatever.
Have you seen the sequel to that?
What's that?
I Divorced the Lusitania.
By the way, so is like the footage of the Hindenburg like a snuff film for this?
Oh, yeah. Too hot.
Yeah.
Turn it off! Oh, turn it off!
I'm into taboos now. It's the only way I can shoot is watch the Hindenburg explode.
Man, what a sexual predicament I find myself in.
So I believe someone could be attracted to tanks.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I can only masturbate on the bike that James Dean died in.
By the way,
it was a car.
Was it a car or a bike? I always get that confused.
It was a car.
It was a car.
Yeah, yeah.
Bicycle accident?
No, bike. Bob Dylan died.
Bob Dylan's dead.
No, Bob Dylan got into a crash on a motorcycle.
Yes, Bob Dylan did have a famous motorcycle accident, as did other people.
Like I'm a ghost. I've been a ghost for 40 years.
I mean, he has.
Yeah, no, that motherfucker burned up good in a car.
Yeah, that's right. I'm Bob Dylan. Here to play some songs for you tonight. Forever, yeah.
Oh shit, I'm attracted to my motorcycle. Oh shit, I'm crashing.
May you stay forever, yeah.
And I'm not there, but Gary Busey plays all the different versions.
Shit. Yes. Now I'm a gospel preacher. Now I'm going electric. Now I'm just a weird English wannabe.
I'm in the West for some reason.
Yeah, now I'm a cowboy.
Fucking Donovan, man. Who the fuck is Donovan? Who the fuck?
Fucking folk festival.
Season of the witch. It's season of the get off my dick.
Whatever the answer may be, I am done with Cross of Iron. Apparently, the only assholes and creeps are drawn to it. Fine. Hey, man.
I mean, fine.
And whatever. James Coburn, right?
Yeah. Very good.
Famously fucked a tank.
Yeah. Yeah.
In the film, Cross of Iron. And Maximilian Schnell, is that correct?
I want it. I don't know, but I remember Coburn for sure.
I might be confusing that.
I'm confusing
Blue Max.
My Peckinpahs though. Which is I thought this was the one with no, because that's a Western. What's the movie with Vincent Price? It's like early Peckinpah.
Oh, that's like the Baron of Arizona.
Yes,
which is actually a great movie.
Very good movie.
Great movie.
This is Peckinpah doing a film on the German-Russian front of World War II, which is kind of a thing that's not explored much in film, which is why I actually like it. And I also like The Keep.
Yes.
Michael Mann's The Keep also is that front. It's not theater that's explored much. Although there's some bad ones, like Enemies at the Gates.
Right, but here's a good one. Come and See.
From
85. I just rewatched it.
Film Form's doing a run of it right now.
It's fucking intense as hell. It's a great movie, though. Yeah. Anywho, so that's Chris in Kansas City. Thank you, sir.
Wait, no, he's got a...
Oh, I thought it was over with. I'm sorry.
It should be over with, but apparently he goes on.
Wow.
It is forever... tainted by the double association with my asshole stepfather and this mysterious Midwestern Panzerjacker.
That's fucking great.
Are there any films that are entirely ruined for you by being associated with assholes and or creeps? The entire Star Wars saga. Oh, no, that's just me answering. Thanks for your good work. Keep it up, Chris in Kansas City. Thank you, Chris.
Yeah, I mean, Star Wars is getting there for me. It's not ruined yet, but I mean, like, just like the you can't shit or get off the pot or can't even just relax and enjoy a Star or even relax and hate a Star Wars movie either.
That's why I'm glad there's just like a break now of everything that at least shit that I pay attention to. I know TV. That the new cartoon started again on Disney Plus.
Good to get it all pent up so it can burst forth the next time it happens.
But like shit that's ruined for you because of like your experience of watching it, I guess is the idea.
Well, I mean, like I mean, it's different, but it's like I really, really love The Big Lebowski, but it's kind of one of those things that I love a little less just because of the culture around it.
See, I'm able to ignore it, but I see what you're saying. And as a matter of fact, that time you and I saw it at Film Form is the only time I've seen it publicly.
Yes.
I've even played it at the Burns. Like I've scheduled it. And refused to go
because
I was so paranoid about people ruining it for me.
Exactly.
That I've only watched it at home, except that one time, and it was like fine.
There was somebody quoting back a little bit.
A little
like,
bit.
Let's not. We're in the movie theater.
Thankfully, we got really stoned outside beforehand, so it was totally fine.
I went to see The Exorcist in a theater when I was young, and the person behind me was doing the entire prayer he does at the end.
Oh, that's creepy as fuck.
And I was like, I don't want to be here anymore. Can I go away now?
Yikes, dude.
Yeah. That's all I remember pretty. Yeah.
There's always going to be assholes that ruin movies for
you. It's
true. And you should give movies a second chance because they are kind of like this stagnant object. And you change. It doesn't. So your appreciation of it could change over the years, even if the assholes have tainted it. Go back to Cross of Iron eventually.
Well, now that with the DVDs and the Blu-rays, you can't really wear out a scene anymore. You can secretly watch a scene multiple times and no one will know.
It's a life hack.
There's
right
just
there.
Like a lot of skips on that part.
Oh no, Mom! That VHS tape got caught on the chain link fence.
Ripped right up the half.
That's why it's all fuzzy during those scenes. That's why the tracking goes crazy.
All right. So what are we going backwards now?
Yeah, I got it.
Speaking of Christopher Nolan.
An innocent trip to the theater. Hey, duders. Okay. February and Valentine's Day had me remembering what was quite possibly the least romantic cinema going experiences I've ever had.
I had one of those Valentine's Day screenings one time.
Mm.
Went with on Valentine's Day with two other friends.
Hot.
Yeah, right? To see the first Daredevil movie,
uh-huh.
I guess the only Daredevil movie, and also had a massive ear infection, all on Valentine's Day.
I remember that day because I was smoking a blunt by myself while you guys were doing that.
Well, why didn't you come with us to see Daredevil?
I think I had already seen it the weekend before.
Then why didn't I stick behind and smoke the blunt? What the hell was going on?
You're busy being angry, in pain, and horny. You
know, story of my life, dude.
In 2006, a girl I had a crush on, but was too much of an awkward nerd to ask out.
Been there.
Asked if I was interested in seeing this film with her. I couldn't believe my luck and said yes without a second thought or even really taking in what the film was. Who cared? We were going on a date.
Absolutely.
Jump forward to the day and things go immediately south when my date, quote unquote, boy, that got bitter. turned up with another friend as well.
Oh,
that
fuck.
Does suck.
That, guess what? Not a date now. Officially
that
not a date.
Rotten.
That's why that's why you didn't bring you to Daredevil, because then it wouldn't be a date.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, no. But
it would have been a friend for noon.
It would have been a friend for noon.
Jump. Bummer. But oh well. At least we'll spend time together, right?
That's the lie you keep telling yourself, friend.
You also know where you're going. It's a theater where you're not supposed to talk.
Well, yeah, that's true. Well, afterwards.
Well, you know, spending time with her right now
young,
in the dark.
You can just smell her hair when she's
that's what
the
young
movie.
Love is. It's like, well, I'm going to ruin it if I say something, so we'll see a movie and I just won't say anything. And it's sort of like we had an experience, but not really.
Ooh, I'm scared. It's not a horror movie.
Do you want popcorn? Yeah, we talked. We talked a little bit before the movie. It was cool. Then we actually settled in to watch the film, about which I still knew nothing. So imagine my surprise when the film opens almost immediately. We are watching a man.
Ah, yes, it was this movie I was hoping it was.
Jacking off and ejaculating unsimulated into his own mouth.
You're accidentally watching Short Bus.
Turns out I had agreed to come and watch the erotic comedy drama Short Bus, featuring a diverse array of explicit unsimulated sex.
Sure does.
I mean, this is laying the ground for an orgy, though, if you're really...
That's what I'm saying. I mean, it's not like she brought you to see Avengers. We're like, oh, great. That's a big fucking dream guy. No, this... Yeah. There's some sex going on.
That friend is now in play, by the way.
Exactly.
You got a twofer.
That's the message.
Also, I'd really be curious to know, like, how far after the release of Short Bus they're seeing it, because... Like wildfire, when that movie came out, it circulated very quickly. Like, yeah, this dude comes in his own mouth. And I was like, I'm so there for this movie.
The next hour and a half were excruciatingly uncomfortable as I sat next to my date, again in the quotes, and a complete stranger watching people bone down. My British awkwardness rising with every penis and or vagina on screen. You see, you're not ready for sex because you say penis and vagina like that.
But also, is your British awkwardness your actual penis? Is that what's rising every time?
Oh no, my British awkwardness is at it again.
Well, mother, I was wondering if you would polish my British awkwardness.
Oh, it appears my British awkwardness is caught in the door.
His penis has a bowl cut like Hugh Grant in the 90s.
Hi. It's my British awkwardness. Hello.
These jeans are too tight for my British awkwardness.
No, I mustn't stand up. My British awkwardness is at attention.
British people get that going around over there. Mm-hmm. I think that's a classic slang term you guys could adopt.
As a result, I don't remember much else about the afternoon, to be honest, but it all worked out well in the end. 13 years later, and we're both happily married to other people.
Excellent use of ellipses, friend.
We remain good friends and have gone to the cinema together with much more successful results. Since then, such as a big screen release of Blade Runner.
It's crazy in Blade Runner when Harrison Ford comes in his own mouth. That's how you know he's a robot at the end of it, by the way.
Doesn't taste like cum.
We only went to one other movie together. It was Eyes Wide Shut.
Well, this is actually interesting that they remained friends and still go to the movies together.
Movie buds.
It's like ejaculating in your mouth in the rain.
All right.
Yeah, how do you first not take that all, as a sign? I'm
fellas,
sorry.
Fellas, we just got an email from a fucking 14-year-old.
Yeah, they're learning. They're learning along with us.
Please do not learn. Change the channel.
Dude, they're not teaching sex ed in their school, so we got to do it for them, man.
Okay, you can't get pregnant by that, by the way. What else? What other life skills can we
teach? Eric, it takes a village, okay?
All right. Protected.
What's the most uncomfortable or awkward situation you've ever had at the movies? Thanks for all the laughs, Matt from Dorset, UK.
Well, Matt, I saw Freddie got fingered on a date.
Oh, that'll do it,
and,
dude.
And let's just say that elephant cummed and I did not.
Hey-o!
Remember that elephant? Remember that elephant, folks? That elephant. Now, Rip Torn grabs an elephant's penis and it starts to... I think that happened in that movie. I haven't seen this as a thing.
Yeah, he jerks off an elephant to completion. Rip Torn doesn't. Tom Green does.
All right. Well, maybe I just wish it was Rip Torn.
That movie was Rip Torn, but you weren't. It's kind of the same joke, but worse.
What's happening?
Yeah, sure.
I didn't understand it.
Did I just disassociate?
I think he's talking about like really getting in there.
Okay.
Oh.
Rip Torn, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Starting up a fist party again?
Lord.
We don't say that anymore. I thought we talked about this, Chris. We don't say that anymore.
Most uncomfortable or awkward I've ever felt screening
right
a
movie. Now.
No, screening.
Oh,
a
no.
Movie.
I just feel like right now is the most awkward and uncomfortable.
Oh, I see. Shit, I don't know. I mean, uncomfortable, not due to the movie's content, but when the New York Film Festival played, the P.T. Anderson movie. Where Joaquin's the detective.
Inherent Vice.
Good movie. We were stuck outside, like waiting online to get into the screening, and it poured, and I was like soaking wet without an umbrella. And that whole movie, I was just like completely wet, just watching like this 3-hour fucking movie.
Yeah,
that sucked. I was physically uncomfortable.
Yeah, I mean, like, I feel like whatever I would say, I've already said before, probably. Yeah. I got nothing new happening.
I was the third wheel on a date to Picture Perfect, the Jay Moore, Jennifer Aniston vehicle that nobody has seen.
Yeah, that sucks.
That sucks.
You know what? That was embarrassing and uncomfortable for the stars in the movie that only you saw this.
Excuse me, sir. Why are you here?
I was fucking uncomfortable when I had to be the second banana to you.
A Mothman.
To see the Mothman prophecies. Yeah, that was pretty uncomfortable.
Yeah, I got nothing. I got nothing.
Nothing.
No. All right, I shared my shit story, all right, guys?
Why don't you go have some new shit happen to you?
Listen, his awkward movie story got caught on the chain link fence.
All right, what do? We got another one here?
Yeah, I think that's you.
Let's see. Oh, here we go. Oh, perfect.
The Gallagher gig.
Hey, guys. Get my beer here. I've listened to almost every episode and have noticed that there have been a lot of references to comedic icon Gallagher. Well, I have a Gallagher story. I work at a venue, and about a year ago, by the way.
Yeah, dude, he's still touring.
I will say, 2019.
Thank you, Chris.
Yeah, well, related to 2019, when we played the Hollywood Improv, one of the guys that were
excellent venue,
one of the people that were working the club said that they had booked Gallagher. But he dropped out at the last second, and they booked Gallagher 2 in his place.
And nobody noticed.
And
really?
It sounded like that, and he said it was great. It was a great time.
Wow.
I will say all of the stories that we tell on this show about celebrities and people in pop culture are all allegedly.
Yeah, that was exactly. Allegedly people having a good time at a Gallagher show.
I also allegedly heard about Dennis Quaid and his...
Oh yeah, I was gonna couch that by saying someone in insurance commercials,
yeah,
doing some fucking yeah. some nose
guy,
candy.
Some guy named Dennis Quaid.
Someone in the allegedly. Dennis Quaid band did cocaine.
But I can say with full confidence that time I sold a candy bar to Gene Shalit, that actually happened.
It went right up his nose.
And the time that Oliver Stone was really drunk and fell off a couch, I saw that happen.
I believed that Dennis Quaid story even more when I saw The Intruder. I was like, he has to be on.
Oh, yeah.
You've got to be just blowing
and
rails.
That is, we heard that from a venue staff, by the way. Allegedly. It's on them. Maybe Gallagher 2 sucked.
Yeah, maybe. We had the privilege of Gallagher doing a couple of shows for some reason. Everyone was super excited, and all three shows sold out. How many of those tickets do you think were ironic purchases?
I'm just curious what 90. Part of the country this is.
That's a great question.
I think these are 50-year-olds.
Yeah.
Remember the good old days.
Doesn't sign it with the location.
All right, well, let's see if we can crack it somehow. Together. Anyway, the Gallagher weekend comes, and I get to meet him. He talks, and after 5 minutes, I think, wow, Gallagher is a huge prick. He was talking about how he loves Trump, he doesn't care about children in cages, etc. I try to stay open-minded and think, he's an old racist fuck. At least he'll put on a persona and entertain our patrons.
That's what I do.
Nope. He was a prick to the fans. He screamed at a lady when she asked for an autograph on her shirt, saying, "You stupid bitch, can't you see I already signed the shirts?" He said this in front of a crowd at his merch table.
What an ass.
The show comes and it's kind of disappointing. Gallagher actually can't raise his hammer anymore. Oh, good.
Dude, somebody needs to make a Gallagher movie that's like The Wrestler.
Yes.
Where it's just like him on the road. I just can't do it anymore.
But he does one last sledgehammer swing and it kills him.
He puts little razor blades in the watermelon.
Both figurative and literally, he can't raise his hammer anymore.
I'm working at a deli getting yelled at by Todd Barry. This stinks.
What is that hammer called? Melajor? What is the...
Mjolnir. There it is. In Thor lore.
Thor lore.
I think Gallagher is from Asgard.
He's from Asgard, dude. It's a fucking totally different place.
Stop stealing my bit!
Yeah! This is Asgard, and it's a fucking like catcher's mitt you put over your butthole. Or I guess a catcher's face mask.
Yeah.
You figure it out.
Either way it works.
That's the thing. Everybody thinks, oh, that's Gallagher. He just does the watermelon. He ends with the watermelon. The rest is really bad Carrot Top-esque prop comedy.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Actually, Asgard is definitely...
Asgard, but it's like a giant cod piece or like a jock strap, right? Like a butt jock.
So I saw some.
Hey, he's gonna use his Asgard San Quentin Gallagher.
There was some Gallagher special where, or he was on like prison, a TV show or something. He was fucking like doing some bit, and he was like, "Oh, look, these are how the Mexicans are getting over the border." And he had like a catapult.
Jesus,
dude,
Christ.
It was terrible. Gallagher is an old racist, homophobic, Islamophobic piece of fucking donkey shit.
How about venues stop booking?
You can't.
Him?
Don't you raise any more hammers?
My hammer is just
Ladies
fine.
And gentlemen, poet laureate Gallagher.
Oh man.
I heard Gallagher was very loyal to me. Gallagher was always loyal. Welcome to Saturday Night Live. Stick around. We got a great show. Gallagher's here.
And yes, he is singing.
With musical guest, Gallagher.
Oh, fuck this guy. All right, let's see. Boop-a-doop-a-doo. Can't raise his hammer anymore. He has some heart issues and maybe does it once during a set, but usually asks for help from audience members. At the end of each set, he goes on a diatribe about how great Trump is, which alienates our crowd. He also trashed the venue and put SpaghettiOs on our ceiling. He also vomited into our... Wait, hang on. He also vomited into our trash can because he was pretty high at one point. Sure. I guess my question is, who is the worst celebrity you've ever met?
I cannot. Oh, it's, what's this show?
Love the show. Josh.
Thank you, Josh.
Thanks, Josh.
What a fucking tale, Josh.
What a beautiful picture.
What a great,
I did too much Fent.
What a great alleged Fent. Tale. Mm-hmm. And everything we have said today has been alleged.
Allegedly, Gallagher will be appointed to my cabinet. He's loyal.
What do you mean? He doesn't do the watermelon anymore? Get him out of here. I'm fucking done with him.
You know, watermelon guy, you were about to be my new Secretary of Agriculture.
And he's Gallagher, watermelon guy.
He's a loser.
Poet Laureate Dennis Leary is here. Oh, thank you, everybody. I know we screwed up the first one.
Speaking of asshole, what was that song?
Oh,
asshole.
Oh,
yeah, asshole song.
So assholes, celebrity assholes.
Edward Norton was kind of a dickhead. I saw him be like mean to like kids that just wanted a Fight Club autograph.
Allegedly. Allegedly. Well, according to Andrew's own eyes, but.
Yeah, no, I saw him be a dick to kids.
Yeah. Did you kick any of them?
No, he was just very like, I'm here to talk about The Painted Veil. And I was like, nobody likes this movie, dude. It fucking sucks. I don't know.
But it's about boring stuff. They love that.
Celebrities.
Like someone on the street maybe that you had a run in with?
Hmm.
I don't know. No, it's just tough. I mean, you know, I feel like the Gallagher story was enough.
Pretty nuclear.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not, how am I going to top that?
Yeah, that's
yeah
true.
I don't know. It was pretty fucking great, to be honest. It's no surprise that guy's a piece of shit, though.
Well, let's just move right along.
We got some more here.
The last
Steve
one.
Sadak.
Or the second to last one.
We got two here. So, Steve Sadak, go ahead.
Harrison fucking Ford.
Asshole?
And we're going to find out.
Oh, that's the subject line.
No, I bet he's fucking great.
I know.
My favorite thing about Harrison Ford was how he came out and he's like, he didn't know what kind of a ghost he was in Star Wars, and he didn't fucking care.
Absolutely.
I think that's the exact quote, which I love.
I don't fucking care.
It's amazing. I right before we recorded this, I saw Call of the Wild, and he's shirtless in that thing, and he's still fucking beautiful.
That's awesome.
It's nuts.
But they're putting like people in fucking CGI dog shit.
You
like,
think
is
it's
that,
CGI?
I didn't see the movie, man.
I texted
know.
My wife right afterwards that Harrison Ford was shirtless and looked fucking great, and she was like, "Was that CGI? Just like a dog?" And you know what?
Just saying.
I don't think so. I think he's getting into shape.
I bet he's
Indiana
looking
Jones.
All right.
Yeah.
I loved working with J.J. Abrams on American Graffiti: A Rise of the Drag Race. I thought it was fantastic. He was such a good guy. I don't know why he told me to take off the hat. I thought the hat was the whole thing.
You know, honestly, RuPaul deserves an Oscar nomination for that supporting role.
That's true.
Dear WHM, I've been sitting on this story for a few years.
What took you so long?
About the one and only Harrison Ford, and figured with the new Star Wars movie out, I would finally share it.
Sweet.
I had picked up my girlfriend at the Burbank Airport. Oh, girlfriend, very nice. At the Burbank Airport.
Ooh,
nice. Burbank Airport, very nice.
Oh,
better than LAX. Absolutely. Am I right, fellas?
Oh, yeah.
We live in Hollywood.
Fuck, dude, this is getting legit now.
We live in Hollywood, and she often has to fly from New York for business. There used to be a...
Someone makes more money than me.
There used to be a big Toys R Us a few miles from the airport. And on this particular day, we had a lunch date.
All right, this
no,
is...
it's a Toys R Us by the airport. I don't know why that was funny in my head.
Lunch date, man, at Toys R Us.
They have a nice cafe a good question. In there.
Do they? Isn't no, like they had a lunch date and then went to walk around the store to
oh, we ate Legos. I know you guys are health nuts in California.
Jeffrey's Cafe, dude, is all just fucking fake giraffe meat.
Holly Weird, am I right, folks?
After they went to Toys R Us just to hang out after lunch.
Sure.
Before, by the way, Amazon choked Toys R Us to death.
Yeah.
You know what? That's fine.
All right. They're dead, right?
They're dead, and I'm fine with that, except I'm bummed that all of those workers got fucked out of their pensions. Yes. I just like to be able to, like, I got a bunch of nephews. I used to just go to Toys R Us and just walk the aisles, but I'll get this for that one. That's
nice
this
to
one.
See shit it's instead nice to, like, of fucking grab searching now. Random shit.
Now I'm Jeff Bezos, and I strangled Jeffrey the giraffe in front of children. I did it. I killed him. I took his head off.
See, if he did that, at least he would earn something. At least he would break a fucking sweat.
After a bit, we head to the Lego aisle and found none other than Harrison Ford standing in there all alone. Guess where you won't fucking find Harrison Ford? On Amazon.com. You're not going to be on your computer and be like, oh, wow, Harrison Ford's right next to me.
Alexa, eat my ass.
Is that the new girl, Alexa? Is she around here?
Alexa, call my weed guy.
Blade Runner 2069.
I found another Harrison Ford standing there all alone. He was wearing glasses and staring intently at a huge Lego set.
Earring or no earring? That's right back.
I don't know, but if he's... is it glasses, do you think, or sunglasses?
Ooh, I think it's glasses.
Either way, he's stoned.
Yes.
He's an old man.
He's an older man, yeah.
He's an old man.
I work in the industry as a writer.
Nice.
And
why don't you give us a leg up?
To have the luxury of no one outside of it knowing who the hell I am unless I'm doing a convention and stand next to a sign that explains who I am and what do I do.
Conventions. Sounds like you can help us.
I know other people.
I don't know, man. You spent the start of this email making fun of this dude, so.
I'm trying to win him back.
I know other people don't have it have it that good, and usually leave famous people alone outside of work. After a couple of minutes, we had walked through most of the aisle, and I found myself standing just a few feet away from him while he looked at Legos.
Mm-hmm.
He glanced up. I nodded politely and couldn't help it. I gestured toward the set of Star Wars and Indiana Jones Legos and said, hey, you're in a couple of those.
Oh,
that's
no.
That's pretty good, actually. I don't know.
It's not bad. I have to say, I thought it was going to be like I pointed towards those and said, I loved those movies. You're in a couple of these?
What you
gotta
do
is baller.
Go, you know, it'd be cool if they had some fucking Sabrina Legos. What is that movie he was in?
The remake of
Billy
Sabrina.
Billy Wilder's Sabrina?
Yeah. Hey, why don't they have any Sabrina sets here?
Hey, do they have any Greg Kinnear action figures around here?
Hey, Harrison, isn't it crazy? I mean, you got Indiana Jones, you got Star Wars. Where the fuck's the Witness Lego set?
Yeah, thank you. A whole barn raising? Awesome.
So the Sabrina playset comes with two different hair pieces for a Julia Armand. One when she's nerdy, you see, and then the other one she turns into sexy Sabrina.
I'm actually a rare one in the conversation set.
Oh, right. Yes.
Out of print, it turns out.
Great movie, and also Witness is also a great movie.
Sabrina's pretty good.
It's fine. Like
you got the original. I mean, what the fuck do you need that for? He said, hey, you're in a couple of these. He then turned very slowly, looked down at me, and then grumbled, yeah, if that meant anything, I wouldn't have to pay $300 for a box of fucking plastic.
That means the following.
Yep.
Harrison Ford tried to get some hookup on whatever Lego set he needed, was denied, and was angry that he had to go to his store to get it.
Alexa, king of Lego. Call, please. I gotta say call. Yeah, call, please.
He then tucked the box of Legos under his arm and turned around and walked out of my life forever.
So what, $300 set of Legos, what is he buying? The Millennium Falcon?
Probably.
Some of those things get expensive balls, dude.
But
I bet it
was.
It
a bigger one.
Yeah. It was everything I could have wanted. I have spoken, Jason from Los Angeles.
Love the way Jason ends this email.
Thank you, Jason, and consider helping us. I don't know how. Listen, this guy's got all the. This guy's hanging out with Harrison Ford.
Yeah, Eric's just jealous at this point.
This guy's going on lunch dates, hanging out at toy stores with Harrison Ford.
I would have had a better line. That's not such a good line. That's I would have had a good line.
Yeah, I would
it's
have said, hey, how about Sabrina?
Line.
How about
it's
Sabrina?
A good, like, we're all in this together kind of a
totally.
Thing.
You know,
I think you could have written something better, Jason.
Because I would have been like, ha, you're in some of these. Do you want to go hang out for about an hour and a half? Please.
Oh, do you see the car there from Random Hearts?
Oh, it's the bathtub playset from What Lies Beneath. Perfect. all right, we got one more here. Who wants it?
An alleged story about Roger Kimball.
Of course, the writer-director of Cruel
Intentions. Right. I wanted to say Richard Kimball right after that Harrison Ford.
Oh, dude, a fugitive Lego playset would rule the fucking school.
It would be so expensive, though, dude, because you have to have the huge fucking damn thing.
Yeah.
Because that's the playset you're
going
about
with. All the 4 36-year-olds that would buy it.
I don't know. If you did the big convention center at the end with the big whatever the fuck biomedtech is going on in the background.
The medical convention.
Yeah, dude, medical convention playset.
And there's a button on the back of Kimball, and you press. He says, so you can have... Provasic.
You switch the samples.
And just think about the one-armed, guy. You can take his fake arm off.
No, you can make any Lego man a one-armed man.
Well, how do you get the desperation that's in that actor that plays the drug addict son?
Oh, I love
that selling pornography or whatever.
Yeah. I think it's drugs.
You just draw a little like purple lines on.
Got it.
Where are you taking him? Where are you taking him?
Oh, my son.
Boy. Where are you taking him?
The poor Polish woman. She had no idea what was going on in the basement.
But Richard Kimball was relieved that day. Yes. Listening to the Cruel Intentions episode inspired me to write in with a story of my time working with Roger Kimball, the director of Cruel Intentions.
Now we have ourselves a fucking email.
He couldn't hold the hammer up anymore. No.
Heart troubles.
He was directing a TV show, and I was staffed on. Why don't you help us, industry people? And was most friendly and unassuming director I've ever worked with. However, he was also very friendly with my pregnant coworker.
That's his kick.
And you got to respect it.
Might also be his kink.
And always.
Yeah, you're right.
Did he kick it?
No.
No.
No,
and
he
would
loves
always
pregnant
kick
chicks,
her stump. No. Talk to her about giving birth. On his last day, he pulled out his cell phone and showed everyone within eye and earshot a video of one of his kids being born.
No,
freak,
thank you.
Freak, man.
No,
freak.
Thank you.
You're fucking, not only, you have that on the ready?
Yeah.
Listen,
that means that's fucking bathroom shit.
Ladies
He's going
and gentlemen,
at it in there.
Bathroom shit.
Ladies and gentlemen, we need to get legislation passed to get the cameras out of the delivery room.
Nobody needs to know how you were born. It's fine. No. It's my own business.
No. It's just
we got
the dumbest thing.
The miracle of birth video exists.
The miracle of life.
All we
if
need.
You survive
yeah, that's
that,
it.
You shouldn't have to go through anything else.
That's like a, it's not a snuff film. It's like the start of one.
Well, it's a reverse snuff film,
Thank
actually.
You, yes.
It's an anti-snuff
exactly.
film.
Oh, what you're looking for is the reverse snuff film section.
Oh, you want the Funtz film.
What?
Whatever snuff is
oh,
backwards.
Oh, I got you.
Yeah, it is
Funtz. Funtz? Funtz movie.
Oh, God. That sounds even worse. All right,
then
so...
Funt? Yes, it does.
I saw enough to know... that he was giving a very detailed show. Have any of you had any? By the way, allegedly, this guy says he works in the industry. He's probably a liar,
yes.
just like the
this
last
person
guy.
Just was like, oh, Roger Kimball, I got a story for him that I invented.
Maybe.
See, this is I love Eric's strategy. Insult the person, then bitterly ask for a Lego,
it's and then call them a liar.
First of all, it's classic nagging.
Sure.
The VH1 show, The Pickup Artist with mystery would tell you
look,
as such.
Look for Eric's new book, Do They Screen? I hope they screen Star Wars in Hell.
From what I've seen online, they definitely do.
Uh-huh.
Have any of you had any interactions at work that made your skin crawl? Keep up the good work. Proud Patreon supporter, unsigned. Well, thank you, unsigned, for the email. Okay, so interactions at work that made your skin crawl.
How long you got?
Yeah. The first CEO at a company that I ever worked at was a smaller book publishing company. And this guy, and we did not publish poetry. I just want to be very clear about that.
Did not publish poetry.
Did not publish poetry yet. Mm-hmm. Quarterly, he would have a company-wide meeting. He'd get 300 people into a conference room, and he would read poetry to them at the beginning.
Was this optional?
No, it was mandatory, dude.
Oh, you got to quit.
Really?
Well, I did eventually.
Immediately.
Wait a second, the poetry that he wrote or just like famous poetry?
Famous poetry, but he would do it with like meaning and like...
Panache?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't need that. No, I need my workplace to be panache-free.
And like, you know what? You want to just start off with a quote from some great man before you tell us how our company's failing? That's fine. Uh-huh. But I don't need to fucking hear all about the wheelbarrow for fucking 20 minutes.
Fair enough.
I've got tons of these, but one that I really disliked was I had a Canadian boss at a online film distributor, which is now part of Gunpowder and Sky.
Oh.
And she demanded everyone watch one of the royal weddings.
What?
Stop what you're doing. Get in the conference room. This is mandatory.
So this must have been William and Kate.
Yeah, I guess so. Didn't care for that.
No. I was forced to the manager would come up. It was just a small company. And like whenever there was a birthday party, you were forced to go to the birthday.
Oh, yeah. I worked at corporate offices. I've had so much fucking cake.
This is a cake story. So I get there and I'm like, I'm okay. I don't need cake. And then she's like, come on, you should have some cake. And I'm like, I'm really okay. She circles around, comes back, and she's like, you don't have any cake?
You can't not have cake. You don't know what they're putting in there either. People that bring cake from home too? Lord Almighty.
This was a Price Chopper C-Town grade cake.
No,
this is no great cake.
Grocery stores.
I would prefer that than whatever homemade whatever they're feeding me.
Yeah, I need to see the Entenmann's being torn open.
Thank you.
What I mean?
So finally, I take a slice of this fucking cake.
Sure.
You were poisoned immediately?
And I'm just looking down, and I'm just like kind of like hitting it with my fork, not really doing anything with it. And then I just look up, and she's staring directly at me.
Fuck, you better eat this cake, hombre. Oh, shit.
Swallow.
And I just walk away.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I guess my skin's kind of crawling for various reasons every ding-dong day, man. I don't know. Yeah, there's a lot of, like, baking stuff, but I will admit to eating a lot of that. That's, you know, fine.
Oh, sure.
I guess, the
problem is you have only worked at one company and you don't want to burn any bridges right now. Yeah. That's the move. I have stuff from my current company that would turn your hair white.
Well, I'm trying to think of shit, you know, from like back in the day and whatnot. I mean, like the shit we saw at the multiplex would turn your hair fucking white.
That was not great.
You know, I mean, if you saw how these places operated, man, talk about not wanting to know how the sausage is made.
I don't order popcorn in the movie theater, and it was all because of that.
People were jizzing in it, huh?
Wasn't that.
Peeing? Poo-poo?
Let's just
not
say
talking poop, about
poop,
it.
Poop, poop corn.
You want to see your popcorn coming right out of the pot.
Because you're just talking about it's old.
Old as fuck.
I don't care about
and
old popcorn. That shit, you should. What are you doing to it, though?
You will be.
But because I feel like popcorn, like cockroaches, could survive a nuclear attack.
Yeah, I mean, popcorn.
But it's been sitting in a garbage bag overnight on the floor.
But what am I? I'm a garbage bag that's going to be on the floor later.
I mean, I guess so.
Yeah, I don't know. It's better than the fucking cake.
I don't go in for a lot of cake. I'm not a cake it's got to be like a really good fucking cake.
You know what?
Like
how
cake.
About some birthday pie? And suddenly I'm at the party.
Oh, yeah. You can keep pie, dude.
Are you fucking kidding me?
I'm a cake person. I'm a cake man.
Dude, cut his mic.
If I didn't like Steve so much, that would make me hate Steve.
I hate pie, love cake.
You hate pie.
Hate pie.
Every kind.
I just don't eat pie. I do not eat pie.
Ever.
Was there a thing that happened?
Have you
did
ever
a pie touch you?
Hold on a second. Did you have you had pie like at 5 and you never had it since?
Yes.
Oh.
So you might love it now.
No. I mean, I've tried pies. I just don't like the whole thing.
It's just
of
like cross of iron.
Exactly. You need cross of iron and some apple pie.
Did you fuck a pie?
No, I did not fuck a pie.
Dude, totally saw American Pie and then burned his dick.
Is that what it is?
No, I had a pie and it went up against a chain link fence, you see.
And you told your mother, and she was understanding.
That is the We Hate Movies mailbag for the month of February, or depending upon how fast I can edit this, early March. Thank you so much for submitting your letters, of course. And like we always say, right into that mailbag, gang, weallhatemovies@gmail.com. Yeah. The new schedule for the mailbags is as followed. If we don't have some killer fucking letters, we're just going to wait till we can accumulate to make a decent show for y'all.
Exactly. This is a nice one. This is a nice catch-up.
This was great. A bunch of robust letters. Mm-hmm. And I think we maybe got some more that we didn't include here.
Yeah.
So, you know, just remember, weallhatemovies@gmail.com. We had some people here saying that they were like, I was sitting on this story for a while. Don't sit, baby. Get those fingers tip-tap typing.
And if you think yours was so great, which it might be, send it again. Because
resending is okay.
Sometimes we miss stuff, honestly.
Because some people this room who have access to that Gmail account are not great about archiving.
Sure.
So eventually, we lose emails.
And if you send it like 3 or 4 times and we're still not doing it, take a hint.
Yeah, have some new shit happen to you.
Send stuff again, because sometimes stuff does slip through the cracks.
Absolutely. So with that said, thank you for submitting all your letters. We had a lot of fun here this evening. Until next time, I'm Andrew Jupin.
Steven Zadek.
Eric Siskin.
Chris Gavin.
Take it easy.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.